This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, hour number two. We're live down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on a baseball Saturday at 4:10 first pitch. It's the Detroit Tigers taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now we're having a Titan Time brought to you by Eckerd College and our good friends at Body Armor. Talking to the women's soccer team, a trio of them, and Coach Luke Shiki, and very fortunate to have them come down today, and I appreciate you taking the time on these girls would probably be somewhere else, probably laying down right now. You got a double header tonight. Explain that to me a little bit.
So we can play six games in the spring, and today's one of those game days. We'll play St. Leo for 45 minutes, and then we'll play Daytona State Community College for 45 minutes. We don't have the numbers right now to play, we'll play a 90-minute game against two different teams. It's great experience. It's good work. The girls are working really hard Monday through Friday, mainly right now, for the 5 days that we're allowed to train with them. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, and the girls
also is something for you to look forward to. Some competition besides, scrimmaging against yourselves. And that's got to be something that you look forward to as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, when we play with the same girls, we kind of know each other's weaknesses, and it's not developing our own game if we know that to take on one girl, you just go to her left side. So if we can play against new opposition and actually work together as a team, then I think it'll be much more beneficial than to have a training session once a week than to play a game.
How do you rate the level of play in the States versus Ireland?
I think the big adjustment that I had to make was that the American game is much more athletic, that in Ireland that it's more technical, and that there's a lot more faster players here and there's a huge emphasis on fitness. But in Ireland, it just kind of, you work with the ball and your fitness will come. But here it's fitness will come and then you work with the ball. But luckily with Luke coming in now with the bit of the European side of things, we work with the ball a lot more, so I'm a much happier player.
And what about from a physicality perspective?
I would say...
rougher over there or here?
It's hard to tell because in our conference it's just full of internationals. So I'm getting beat up every single game.
Give it back. Come
oh,
on,
I
man.
Do. Believe me, I do. That's
I'm
probably why.
Irish.
That's probably why
give
I get it.
Give some of it back.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of both. Honestly, I haven't really properly played in Ireland in 3 years now, and then before that was COVID. So I honestly can't really remember.
She's losing her memory already. She's becoming.
Yeah.
Now, do you plan on when you graduate sticking over here stateside, or are you going back home?
I have another year of eligibility after Eckerd.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, unfortunately, Eckerd doesn't do
graduate school. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll move on somewhere and I'll see what happens.
Don't move inside the conference. Go see the rest of the country, right, Coach?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Okay. All right, young lady. As you started practicing with these girls, the difference between the level of ball, the level you're playing down here at Eckerd, just in practice versus up north, is there considerable difference or not?
When I talked to Coach Luke about coming here, he knew I was coming from a Division I, and he told me the main difference.
Oh, you guys were D1.
Yeah, I came from a Division I, so it was a little bit of a change, but I noticed it's very similar with the athleticism, the level of the game. I honestly still feel like I'm at a Division I program when we're practicing, so it's been good.
Oh, and that's one of the things that I've noticed about about this conference, the Sunshine State Conference, is it's Division I level. Athletes and competition in many cases.
Absolutely, and it continues to get better because of the graduates that go into other programs. We don't have grad schools.
And so you're a fan of this portal, right?
I am, yeah. I am. I always have been, and a lot of coaches haven't been. But from day one, I think that the student athlete deserves the right to choose where they want to play, and if they feel like they made a mistake, they should be able to transfer. But there's tough parts to it, but there's good parts for coaches too as well.
Well, and if you embrace it like you have with an open mind, it can become an asset for you without a shadow of a doubt.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I want to ask you, young lady, being from the state of Florida and coming here from the Midwest, and soccer's taken off across America. We know right. that. Your entire upbringing, were you involved in soccer from an early age?
Yes, I started playing soccer at 5, and so it just kind of stuck with me, and I didn't really explore any other sports like
that. Oh, so you never tried basketball or track or anything? You were just, soccer was your deal?
I tried golf for a little bit.
That a girl? Well, how'd you do there?
I did okay, but it kind of got boring after a while. It felt like too hot just standing there and stuff, so I like soccer better.
You know what, though? When you get older, you're obviously an athlete. When you get older, you'll probably play some golf again, and your game will come back. I'm a horrible hack. I'm sure you could take care of me right now. You just go out there and tell Coach Butner you want a few swing tips, and he'll get your game back right away.
Yeah.
So you tried golf, but you stuck with soccer.
Yes.
Now, which high school did you go to in Florida?
I went to Durant High School. It's like real in Plant City, real country.
Oh, it's right out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not too far away.
Yeah, not too far.
That's all country. I'm from Iowa. That's country.
Yeah.
You're in Strawberry Land.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in Strawberry Land. So when you, what schools were you looking at? Were you looking inside the state? Or did you ever look at possibly leaving the Sunshine State?
I was really like my senior year, I was just focusing on committing because it was COVID time. So I was like getting to that crunch time where I need to commit somewhere. So I was just like kind of anywhere. I was looking at Louisiana Tech and Eckerd and like some other like Florida Southern. But I kind of knew Danielle through George Fotopoulos because he was my club coach. And so I went to an ID camp, and then that's how I got to go to Eckerd.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, how would you rate Florida high school? Now you're competing internationally. Mm-hmm. A young lady that's up north. Do you think Florida soccer is up there with the rest of the states as far as the talent and the passion?
I think Florida club soccer is really
good. I was going to say, because I think they don't do the high school. They do a disservice. You have a shortened woke-up season with the holidays. I don't get that.
Right, yeah. I think club soccer is really high in level, and it kind of set me up for a college. But high school is kind of lower level, and it's kind of like we don't have JV team, so it's like varsity. So it was kind of like a mixture of different.
Were you involved with the Champions League then?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, they've got a Champions League now, and it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
In Hillsboro.
Okay.
They may not have included Plant. Maybe they did.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a draft here, if you will, and they start playing that I think sometime in the late spring. The mm-hmm. Champions, and it's all club.
Okay.
And you played club?
Yeah, I did play club.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Well, I appreciate you girls coming down, and look forward to coming out and watching you play. You'll have to get me like a cheat sheet, names, and then their position. But tell me what the position is supposed to be doing.
I will do.
And I'll bring Ben along, and we'll both get educated.
Yeah, there we go. We'll teach you both.
All right, Coach Luke. Thanks, man.
I appreciate it.
All right, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on down. We're going to switch gears now, and we're going to go a little baseball. We've got the Largo Packers are in the house. Thanks, girls, for coming down. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate very much. Okay, Brad, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn this mic to you and Ben. You guys are going to, I'll do my quick introductions, and you guys can ask some baseball questions. Last time I had the Packers in the house, I had the football team on two occasions. They had a nice year. And Coach Pascal, he played at Iowa. I'm from Iowa, obviously. I'm wearing my Hawkeye gear. But thanks for coming down today, Coach, and bringing some of the guys.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having us.
Get a little closer to that mic, would you? There you go.
Yes, I got you. Yes, sir. Thank you for having us. Really excited to be here and talk about our baseball program and our school in general.
Why don't we do a little bio on you and introduce the audience to how you got to be the head baseball coach for the Packers. We got a seminal assistant coach over here in Ben Botham. You guys probably have paths have crossed, and then of course the voice of the Seminole. So I'm a Packer fan, so let's stick with Packers for now. Forget Seminole Warhawks. How many years have you been there?
This will be my fifth year, in year 5 as a head coach.
Okay, and where did you come from?
I came from South Florida State College and finished my career over at Weber. I went to high school at Osceola Fundamental High School.
Gotcha, right up the road.
Always been a rival of Seminole High School.
I think everybody's a rival of Seminole High School.
Let me just say this real quick. I mean, Taylor, to sit there and to say that your high school career was, you know, it was exceptional. I was thinking of another phrase there, but I couldn't think of it. I mean, just to give the audience real quick, in 2011, your senior year, you had a .93 ERA batting .398, and your fastball was in, what, 85 miles an hour, if I recall correctly?
I believe it or not, it actually hit 92 time against
You're too humble, coach.
I'm not a big fan. Realistically, Osceola was a great time. Had a great career. We had a great program there. Did a lot of amazing things with my teammates and things like that. And that senior season was one that I will never forget and wish that I could definitely go back in time and relive.
So, real quick, Taylor, you said this is your fifth year, obviously, with the team and all. I remember interviewing you when you got that job and everything like that. And, you know, one of the things you wanted to do was start a bunch of different things with this program and all that. Real quick, just tell me what all that you have done since you started head coach. I know you started a big tournament over there. Please describe that to us.
Packer Invitational. We took a year off last year, a little bit of COVID. Different things happened, affected different people, and we took a year off from it. But the Packer Invitational, I believe this is the fourth year that we've done it. Eight teams. Three guaranteed games. We've really wanted to invite people over to Largo High School because the school was rebuilt in 2013. The baseball, softball fields were all redone at that time. So it's just they've completely redone it to it's almost a junior college style campus. And I want other people to see that. And our kids have really bought into the fact of Largo High School baseball becoming a program in Pinellas County. And I think that's important.
You know, and I go back to the conversation with Marcus Pascal. He went to Largo, and he wanted to, his dream, if you remember that, Ben, his dream was to one day be the head football coach at his alma mater. And here's a guy that was two-time All-Big Ten defensive back, played for the Philadelphia Eagles, and incredible career, but that was his goal. And you sound like, you know, even though you didn't go there, you've got that almost same passion to build Largo baseball, and he's doing the same thing with football. So there's got to be a lot of athletic passion and pride in the hallways over there right now.
Yes, sir. Coach Pascal does a great job with the football program first. If we can just knock that out real quick. This year we had a great year for football. I know we're talking about baseball, but I wanted to give them a shout out. He does a great job. Our baseball program, Mike, what I try to teach my kids is that baseball is a game that teaches you so much about life and prepares you so much for life. And just from getting there early, staying there late, taking pride in your field, and different things like that, it has really changed the dynamic of what Largo High School stands for. And those are the type of kids that I want in our program, and those are the type of kids that we have in our program that really take pride in each other and building a competitive program year in and year out.
Well, bravo. Why don't we have some conversations with the youngsters here? We'll start to the left there. You don't need the headphones. Okay. My mouth's loud enough as it is.
I can tell.
Okay, what'd you just say?
You are loud. You are.
I'm kidding you, young man.
Sorry about that.
Trust me. Oh, trust me. This will be a lot of humor involved in this conversation. Your name and your position.
My name is Carson Jones, and I play first base.
I love Carson already. He's got the pipes for radio. You speak loud. Take a lesson from Carson as he passes the mic around. What year are you, young man?
I graduated in 2025.
2025. So if I do the math, you're a sophomore?
Correct.
Okay. It's tough for me to do math. You know,
math is hard.
Yeah, if I keep it one and two, I'm okay. So this is your sophomore year. Did you play last year as a freshman?
Yes, sir, I did.
Well, bravo. Yep. How about your favorite memory as a baseball player? You can go back to, you know, T-ball all the way up to today's world.
Well, back in when I was in 12U, I did hit a home run in Cooperstown, which was, I will remember that for the rest of my life.
You did?
I did.
Yeah, you will remember that for the rest of your life. Will. There's Major League Baseball players that remember that, fellas. Yeah. They know where they hit their first home run, and you hit it in Cooperstown. Well, bravo.
Yes.
What year was that? You were 12 years old?
I wish I could give you a year. I don't even remember. I'd have to do the math on that.
Well, how old are you? 16?
It's all good.
How old are you?
I'm 16 years old, so 4 years.
Okay, so yeah, it's 2019,
2018.
Exactly. Like that, yeah. Don't lose your memory at this young age yet. All right, so that was your fondest memory. And what are your goals for this year? You guys are about halfway through the season, Coach?
Yes, sir. About 13 games through.
Gotcha. What are your goals for yourself this year?
Well, this year I really wanted to start getting better, getting on base more, hitting the ball harder, getting stronger. So by the end of the year, I want to be hitting average wise. I want to be hitting probably over 300. Honestly, yes.
Gotcha. You play any other sports?
Actually, I'm planning on trying to get into golf a little bit.
That a boy. That's a lifelong sport, and a lot of baseball players embrace that game as well, because obviously you're hitting a white thing, but it just stands still in golf. As Tommy Lasorda said one time, how tough is this game? He says the ball is right there for you to hit versus somebody throwing a ball 99 miles an hour at your dome. Well, good for you. Yeah, embrace golf. You'll have fun with that. Your favorite team, baseball team?
Tampa Bay Rays.
Attaboy.
Of course.
Well, you say of course, and I get all kinds of different responses. You'll be shocked. Now, this question, a lot of people don't care, but it's my show. Got a girlfriend?
I do not.
Smart man.
Very smart.
Smart man. You're a young man. You're only 16. You don't need any diversions right now.
Not necessary.
No, it's not. And if you have one, and it's good karma, stick with it. Okay, you want to do a shout out to anybody at home?
My mom and my dad. Then yes.
Your mom and dad's name?
Mary and David Jones.
Well, Carson seems like a fine young man, and anytime you want to try to dabble in communications, we'll get you a mic, and you can do some high school coverage. Got great pipes. Who's this young man? It reminds me of Sunshine in the movie Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans? Yeah, I remember that movie.
He probably doesn't even a lot.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's my favorite movie, Sunshine. But your name, I'm sorry?
Brady Ehlers. I play outfield and I'm a pitcher.
Outfield and a pitcher. You like those versatile players, don't you, Coach?
A lot of my guys want to go play baseball in college, and college coaches look for versatility. So I want them to be able to have as many opportunities as possible at the next level.
Well, it's good to have someone like yourself that has that foresight and can help them that direction. Your favorite memory, can you go back to, 12 years old or even before then?
I'm going to stay recent. Last Thursday, had a walk-off in the bottom of the ninth.
Wow. Well, you're not going to forget that the rest of your life either. I can tell you as an old man.
Definitely.
That's a milestone. That one, walk-off. Who are you guys playing?
Turpin Springs.
Bravo, young man.
Thank you.
I bet Coach he's still smiling over here thinking about it.
Yeah, nine innings, nothing, and finally got one across in the ninth inning. We've had a lot of one-run and two-run baseball games this year, and Thursday was a really big step in the right direction for us.
What year are you?
I'm a sophomore.
You got a young squad, too, Coach.
We are majority sophomores. I have a few seniors that do a great job, and they've contributed as well, but we are majority a sophomore class.
Well, future's so bright, you got to wear shades. But right now, you want to make a difference and see some progression now, with a younger team. What's your favorite team?
Tampa Bay Rays.
Good answer.
Two for two.
Girlfriend?
No.
Good job, Sunshine. You don't need a girlfriend right now. Coaches, 0 for 2. I asked in front of coaches, and some of them roll their eyes. And yeah, I've gotten some interesting. But you guys are all young. You're way too young. Anyway, so we did the shout out. Gonna do the shout out.
My parents, Chris and Rob Ehlers.
Well, this young man, a walk off. That's impressive. Both your memory is impressive, a home run at Cooperstown and a walk-off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not jump change, fellas.
Absolutely. Cooperstown, especially. Little League World Series. Can't beat that.
Well, the coach doesn't care about that this time.
Oh, I know.
It's a walk-off right now. All right, who's this young man sitting there? He looks like he's a pitcher. Am I right?
I definitely pitch, but I play mainly middle infield. My name is Lucas Woodard, and I'm a junior.
Now, you're an old man compared to these guys, huh? You got to share some wisdom with them, Lucas.
Sir, definitely. Right.
What's your favorite memory?
My favorite memory, it's kind of between two. Definitely hitting my first home run in 12U was awesome, but I think as a freshman, when I made the varsity team, that was really special because
that is special.
A special group of guys that year, and I was really happy to be around them.
Well, that's a statement that your commitment to want to achieve. And how many guys get to play varsity for 4 years? And that, you know, sounds like you did, coach, in your career. But those are exceptional athletes. And even if you guys as sophomores, you get to play for 3 years. You know, that's a lot more than at other schools, and you got more memories and more preparation for success this year and down the road. And I'm sure you've embraced these young guys when they came on.
Definitely. 100%. I've known these two for a very long time and are very good buddies, so I was very happy to see them play for Largo.
Well, they say chemistry is the key in any sport, and it sounds like you guys, you have good chemistry with your team?
Yes, sir. Definitely.
Do you? Starts at the top, though. I'm sure you promote that you know, you're a family.
Yes, sir. I think, like I said, the big picture is about life, and when you have good chemistry and hardworking kids and staff and parents that trust the process, it kind of breeds success and sets the foundation for years to come. And that's kind of what my goal is for Largo High School to be a program that is year in and year out. Looked at throughout Pinellas County in a positive way.
Well, and bravo to you and anybody that I talk to in the coaching or teaching world. You know, you're building young men or young ladies in some cases, you know, but you're building young men for their future, not for Major League Baseball, but for life. And that's a more important game. There's certainly that.
On that note, real quick, Mike, I just got to say this real fast. I know when you took over the team, Taylor, one of the things you really wanted to do was you really wanted to help kids go from high school to continue their baseball and academic career in college. Just real fast, how many do you know off the top of your head that have actually been able to do that you've been able to help? Just an estimate. Can you think of it?
Since I've taken over, we've had at least two or three kids every single year with multiple offers to college baseball programs.
Oh, bravo, coach. You know, sending kids to continue their education is you know, key, and you know what it takes to get them there. But I want to let him finish. Got a girlfriend?
I do not, no.
Coach, you got coach is giving another standing O. He's inside, he's cheering loudly. You got plenty of time for that. And your favorite team?
My favorite team, Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Rays.
Ding, ding, ding.
See, these guys grew up with the Rays, and you're shaking your head.
My favorite team is the Chicago Cubs. Our season started on Thursday at 2:20 and ended on Thursday at 2:30.
So, hey, come on. I used to work for the Cubs organization.
My family's from Dansville, Illinois.
Oh, are they? Well, I'm from Iowa. I worked for the Cubs organization in the 90s. I'm a Yankee fan. My grandfather raised me. He raised me a Yankee fan, so I'm into the loyalty factor. Then I went to work for the Cubs. Now I live down here, and I work here in my offices here. I think I better be a fan of the Rays, and I am.
Especially
but I look
stadium across the street for sure.
Exactly. But bravo for sticking in there with our Cubs. Our day's coming back. I was there in the 90s when we were really bad.
I remember getting home from school on Fridays and getting to WGN by 2:20 to watch Sosa run out to right field.
Exactly. I saw Sosa those years when he was hitting in the high 50s. Well, he wasn't. He might have been some.
PEDs. That's going way back.
That's how his generation grew up on baseball. What do you think? There's a ton of Atlanta Braves fans, and there's a ton of Atlanta Braves fans and a ton of Chicago Cubs fans because they were on cable television back in the day.
CBS and WGN.
Exactly. So Chicago Cubs, well, you better start embracing the Rays because these guys are all Rays fans, and they're going to have a lot more W's this year across the street than they are in Wrigley, unfortunately. And, shout out to your family.
Shout out to my parents, Matt Woodard and Arrow Woodard.
Well, you have a very, very nice young man. All these are nice young guys.
So that's kind of what we talked about. That's the big picture. If these guys are successful on the field in their preparation and things like that, they're going to be in a pretty good shape when they head into the real world.
They'll be in great shape. Listen to coach. Listen to your parents. Have fun. You're going to have these memories for a lifetime.
and you guys will be friends for life. I can tell you, I communicate with my buddies from high school and college sports to this day, and we're all dinosaurs. And those are some of the brightest moments of our life. So we reflect back on those, and you guys are going to think say the same thing. And keep those girls away from sunshine, would you? All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming down. Coach, thanks for coming. You got anything else, Bradley?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, guys. I've known Taylor for a long time, since 2011. I told you guys before the game. So I got to ask you something. You know, when I interviewed him, I did ask him a certain question about his coaching style on the field. And this is what he told me. I'm not the kind of guy that yells. I've been much of a vocal person to get my point across, but I always want to be playing and coaching to dictate itself. I have expectations, and these players know what those are. What are those expectations, guys? I mean, you guys can answer that right now. I mean, when he's on the field, is he kind of quiet? You know, tell me about some game situations where he's at third base and all.
Definitely. Like, he wants us to give us our all, 100%. He wants the energy in the dugout on the field to be high, to just get that good mojo going for the game. And, you know, he'll stand up for us. And if something isn't going right, then he'll inspire us to turn it around and make things go right.
Yeah, so just real quick to you guys, what's it like playing on that field? As he said, it's a junior college field and all that. What do you guys like about playing on it?
I just love playing baseball. I mean, if it's any field.
You can go play on a sand lot.
I could care less what field I'm on.
I love that.
I mean, it's a passion for the game.
It's
a beautiful field. I mean, don't get me wrong.
It's a very, very nice field. And good, just good scenery in the background, too. I like to see the Hampton Inn and Suites in the background.
Absolutely, yeah.
Carson, you have a future in broadcasting.
Obviously, you know, we're halfway through the season right now and all. What teams, or maybe just one team, you guys looking forward to facing as things are going to be winding down very soon? Any one team?
I'm excited for Clearwater.
Oh, that's a big game. Yeah.
And we're both not having our best year, but we're looking to get a big win over our rival.
Well, you know, it's funny, as I talked to Taylor before the show, you know, scrappy teams always do make the best teams. They're going to go out, do whatever they take to actually win the game and all that. So obviously you guys, scrappy team, as he told me, obviously Clearwater, that's going to be an interesting game for you guys for sure.
All right, young men, I got to take a hard break and wind her down. Any shout outs to anybody? No.
Yes, any shout outs, Taylor.
Shout out, Coach.
You forgot me. I want to give a shout out to my wife and two kids.
Oh, absolutely.
My wife allows me to do this and to continue giving back to baseball, because people were there for me, signed to go to Florida State. And if I didn't have the people in my corner to get me there, that's ultimately why I do this also. And if I didn't have my wife support me in taking care of a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old at home, I wouldn't be able to do this. So Amanda, Taylor Jr., and Carter.
Well, life doesn't get any better than that, my man. That's what it's all about. Well, thanks, Coach, for bringing them down. Bradley, thank you for coordinating this. We'd love to grab a body armor there on your way out. And I look forward to it. One more year for you, 2 more years for you. We'll be talking to you in the future down here at FERC Sports Bar and Grill. Talk a little Packer baseball. And thanks very much, Coach.
Hey, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. Nice. We'll come back. We're going to start talking March Madness. We'll talk a little Rays. We got Alex Reba in the house and Ben Botham. And we'll be right back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay. Barb with Champa Bay at gmail.com or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today. 813-564-4134. Berg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Berg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters. Visit RadioSaintPete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSaintPete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSaintPete.com is where local music lives.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Nice conversation with the Largo Packers baseball team. Thank you, Brad Richardson, getting that set up. Brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor. And Coach Taylor just seems like a superb young man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We're also brought to you by Ace High Printing and Rick Herbert. He's our official printer. He does all the business cards. He does his tabletop and just a great guy. Give him a call, 727-542-3897. He's local and he does a superb job. He's done work across the street for the World Series. He's done the Bolts. He's done Madonna. You name it, he's done it, and he can wrap your vehicle as well. And that is my man, Rick Herbert, 742-542-3897. Then our good friends at Shrimpy's Waterfront, John and the gang, they've got the games on tonight over there, 22 televisions, right on the water, across the street at Sea Dogs, same thing, and both of them proud sponsors of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and now our prep connection continues as Brad Richardson breaks down the last week or so.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you what, this has been a great week for Preps baseball, and the one game I want to start out with before we get to the Seminole game, Ben, this was a big matchup a lot of people have been waiting for, Dunedin versus Jesuit. Jesuit going to this game was undefeated, 14-0, and ranked number 2 by Max Preps in the defending 5A state champions. Of course, Dunedin going to this game, 11-1. They have been on an absolute roll this game down at TD Park in Dunedin. So let's start off with Jesuit. The Tigers' John Abram started and pitched 6 innings, and Dunedin's own Trey Beard, I tell you what, as we've talked about him before, started and pitched 4 innings. Now, here's the thing during this game.
Is that the cat we talked about that was amazing?
Absolutely. That was
Trey
him.
Trey Beard's really, really good.
Now, here's the thing. Just listen carefully. So during this game was a no-hitter game, okay? Here's what happened. So Jacob Regal gets up to bat. He walks. Then Dunedin bunts him over to second. Then on an error, he gets to third. How he scored that winning run in the bottom of the 7th inning was on a balk. That is how Dunedin beat Jesuit, 1-0.
I gotta get a hold, get a hold of Coach Menendez and ask him what he thinks about that finish.
Oh, I know.
And I bet Miguel wasn't too happy.
Oh, I bet. I don't think.
Oh
he was,
my God!
No. But yeah, that
lose was, on a balk. You ever heard of that before?
No, I haven't. That's almost as bad as these losing on a pitch count violation.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Actually, Seminole won the state championships on a balk. That's how they won.
Now, that's not cool either.
Yeah. So now we'll get to the one game that me and Benny, of course, we're talking about. Of course, Seminole versus Hollins, rematch from last season. Seminole and Hollins faced off in the district championship last year, went many innings. Hollins, of course, became the district championship that year. This game, this time around, was, of course, a pitcher's duel. Kendall Hoffman Jr., he pitched a complete game shutout. Complete game shutout. Ryland Bosenhardt, of course, started, and he did a complete game as well. Big shout-outs right now to Christian New, who delivered a double in the first inning. But for Mr. Evan Miller himself, he delivered a solo home run last night in the 7th inning. Final score of that game, 2-0. Seminole, of course, now has got a district win again and will go forward. Two district games for Seminole this coming week. They play Clearwater on Monday. But
Get ready. Get ready. This week, it's the rivalry game that everyone knows about in Pinellas County. Seminole versus Osceola will be on Tuesday at Seminole at 7 p.m.
Do you guys put your war paint on for that?
Yeah, that's a very big game there. And, you know, we'll have our starting pitchers, Tyler Sonder, out there and probably also Kendall Hoffman as well, probably.
He'll be back.
To help win us that game. Kendall Hoffman in that game against Hollins only threw 54 pitches, allowing only one hit.
That's it, yeah.
He did a superb job, and kudos to him. Great pitching.
Yeah. So just real quick to get through the other games this week. In baseball, Indian Rocks versus Keswick. It was a 2A matchup. Final score of that game, 5-4. Indian Rocks Christian takes the win this coming week. They'll play Sapi Catholic. Northside Christian versus Mater Academy Charter in Hialeah, Florida. Northside, of course, number one ranked team in 2A District 9. Final score, 11-4 Northside. Northside will play Lexington State High School next week, of course. Real quick, you have CCC versus Cardinal Mooney, 5-2. Clearwater Central Catholic will take that game. And one of the other ones this week, IMG Academy White versus St. Pete, evenly matched teams, final score 9-3. Now over to softball, if you want to go with those real quick.
Real quick.
All right, softball. Right now, Calvary Christian versus Leonard High School. Right now, they're over in the Leopard Slam. During that, Hernando High School 12-3, Calvary 11-3. During that game, big home runs, big hits by Morgan Talley. And then final score of that game as 10-7 as Calvary takes the win. Calvary will move forward. Osceola versus Boca Ciega. Osceola first in 5A, District 8. It'll be 8-0 final score over Boca Ciega. Osceola play the Sapi Green Devils on Tuesday. Of course, coming up this week in Seminole Warhawks softball, Warhawks currently 8-2. They were facing Northeast Vikings. Seminole got on the board first in the inning, but in the third, the Vikings pulled ahead with two runs. Final score, 3-1 winner, Northeast High School. Eastlake and River Ridge, final score of that game, 4-2. Eagles will play Wiregrass at 1 p.m. today. Their score is Sapi Catholic versus Keswick Christian, 19-18. Keswick Christian will take that win. Flag football, just real quick, 7-0 record Osceola. They got a win over Northeast High School. Gibbs currently right now is 6-2. They have a win. They got that win over Countryside. 5-1 is the record currently for Lakewood. They are able to chalk up a win over Pinellas Park. Northeast, 4-3. They got a win over Hollins. And finally, you had Tarpon Springs, 4-4. A close game, but they unfortunately lost to your team that we talked about a lot during basketball, the Florida State High School University Seminoles, 13-7.
And that's Brad Richardson, brought to you by Body Armor and our Prep Connection. And now let's go talk a little March Madness. We've got a couple of games of importance today. And Ben, this is the only time that you'll get to contribute.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Is that an owl I hear?
It's the Beach Boys from FAU, and they're going to shock the world tonight there, Alex. That's my prediction.
I don't think they can shock the world any more than they already have.
I agree with you 1,000%. But what a Final Four. I mean, in America, I would like to know if anybody's bracket was anywhere close. Have you seen anything?
We had eight perfect Final Four brackets in total. Eight. And that's just the Final Four.
Oh, my God.
That's just picking these four teams.
That blows me away that the number's that high, to be quite candid with you.
I guess a couple Owls fans had a lot of faith in their team and then just loved the U and Adama Sanogo and was like, hey, maybe San Diego State can pull something off. Okay. I mean, it's the first time in history we've ever had a March Madness since seeding began in 1979 where not a one, not a two, or a three seed got into the Final Four.
Exactly. And, you know, on paper right now, it looks like UConn, and a lot of prognosticators said, you know, UConn would be there and would win. I know J.B. Bielas, but, you know, he was all over UConn early.
Seth Greenberg? Mike Greenberg?
Yeah, Seth Greenberg. He was all over UConn.
Yeah.
And,
UConn won 14 games. They were the number one seed. They were a top 10 team coming into the season. They had Adama Sanogo. They're coached by a great coach and basketball royalty and a Hurley brother. There was no reason why this UConn team couldn't make this run. But to make this run with the just absolute dominance that they have, I mean, they have not let a single team into any game at any point during this run. And there's a reason why everyone's picking them. They're 5.5-point favorites over the U. But, I mean, they came out of probably the toughest region in the bracket, and I think that's what's come most impressive to me because they got lucky. I think if they wanted to play Kansas, that would have been a much better game than Arkansas, but that region was still loaded with talent with Gonzaga, UCLA. I mean, St. Mary's even would have been a tough matchup for them. they've rolled everyone, and there's no reason why they can't continue to roll if they continue to play the way they have so far.
Okay, now everybody said that on the women's side about South Carolina. So I keep throwing this debate at people like, of course that is what should happen.
What should happen.
That has not happened in this particular March Madness on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you have Caitlin Clark on your team, then anything can happen.
Go Hawkeyes, baby.
In back-to-back games. The biggest ever triple-double scoring output in a tournament game by Caitlin Clark in that win over Louisville to get her team to the Final Four.
Des Moines Dowling Catholic.
Yeah.
That's where my daughter went, and that's our family, Catholic High School. Everybody's loud and proud, and the maroon that's kicking butt across America. She's become the darling of sport.
Hard not to be. I mean, she's leading that team to absolute depths. I don't think either you or I could have predicted, especially with how dominant Dawn Staley had that South Carolina Gamecocks team playing.
I followed her high school career because I get all the updates, but I never in my wildest dreams thought that she would be at this height at this point.
No, I think she's a junior, right? Or
But she actually has 2 years.
Really?
Available.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's the second fastest player to 2,000 points, tied Ella Donadell, technically the fastest, tied Ella Donadell's record to 2,000 in March scoring. So, I mean, incredible, incredible output.
She doesn't need the money right now. Her name, image, and likeness dollars are way up there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
And love a hometown story. Love that she stayed in Iowa, like you said.
So do we.
That's really great. But back to
what
the men's
side.
What else
you got, my
friend? Back to the men's side, I think... I mean, like we said, we have a completely unexpected Final Four here. I think a lot of NBA heads, a lot of non-college basketball fans and prognosticators against the sport would say this is a boring Final Four because the Blue Bloods aren't there. And, you know, I think...
Number one draft picks aren't there.
Yeah, not a single McDonald's All-American in this Final
Four. I love it.
Just shocking. But, you know, we don't even have any, draft lottery picks. I mean, you could maybe say somebody on UConn could play their way in, Jordan Hawkins potentially, but really there's no... you know, known quantities in this Final Four. We have one coach that's ever even been to a Final Four in Jim Larrañaga, and he did that with a George Mason program back in 06 when he actually beat
UConn. I remember that, yeah.
To get to the Final Four in an overtime win, 86-84 thriller. But there's no one that could come into this Final Four and have, I think, absolute and certainty of what's going to happen tonight. Like we said, UConn's been the best team without a doubt. If they continue to play the way they have, then there's no reason why they shouldn't be cutting down the nets in Houston. But Miami has four players that arguably could be said the best five starting lineup in college basketball.
They play defense.
They play great defense, but they score. They have just put absolute scoring outputs. And if you got a guy that's going perfect from the field, 27 points, 13-13 from the line, 7-7 from the field.
That was phenomenal.
Jordan Miller had an absolute fantastic game for the U, and there's a reason why they're still playing. And they kind of lulled Texas. Texas looked like they were in complete control in that Elite Eight matchup.
I liked Texas.
Texas was
to win it all.
I like Texas too. I mean, I like Penn State to beat them, but we almost did it. But either way, I loved how great that Miami team, their resiliency, because they were behind against Drake. There was a stretch where Drake didn't score a basket for the last 6 minutes and lost that game because Miami can get, they can just grit it out and they can make you think that they
you had to remind me of that game
stretch. Hey, I wanted Drake to win that game too.
Oh my gosh.
But look, Miami's here for a reason. UConn's here for a reason. We haven't touched about San Diego State. They play the best defense in the country. They're holding teams something like 19% from beyond the arc in this tournament. And guess what FAU relies on? Shooting from beyond the arc. And so it's going to be tough. I think FAU is going to be a really tough out. I think that game is going to be, some might say, an ugly basketball game because San Diego State just plays a brand of defense that's really strong. But I think, you know, there's 2.5-point underdog in FAU. I like Dusty May to potentially pull the upset here. I mean, he's continued to do it. Why not tonight?
Hey, Ben, give him that little factoid about San Diego State alum.
Oh, yeah. The all-time, what was it?
Assist.
Assist, that's right. The all-time assist leader for their school is none other than Mr. Padre himself, Tony Gwynn.
I think I knew that.
That's astounding.
But I'm glad you reminded me of that.
You did know that?
That's incredible. I think I did read that about
Tony Gwynn fan, God rest his soul. But that is a great, trivia question.
Dual sport athlete right there.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
There were several of them.
That San Diego State program is easily the cream of the crop in the Mountain West, and they've pretty much carried the Mountain West, considering the fact that coming into this tournament, the Mountain West hadn't won a first-round game since 2018 when Nevada did it on their Sweet 16 run that year. So, I love Brian Dutcher. He's gotten his guys to buy in. They brought in some scoring in the transfer portal this offseason, bringing in Trammell. He's been a big factor as the guard for that team. He's leading them, and they're deep. They play nine guys. They do full line changes, five guys in, five guys out, which is not something you see in college basketball. And I think it's a good thing that the FAU got that week to rest up for the Final Four.
Because they'll wear you out.
Because they will tire you out. And FAU plays a gritty brand of basketball too, but nothing like San Diego State. And San Diego State, I think every fan that's played San Diego State to this tournament could say, oh, if we just shot the three better, we would have won that game. Well, there's a reason why you don't shoot the three well.
Because of their defense.
They guard three-point arc so well, and they got rim protectors. I think that's going to be a really fun matchup. If you are a college basketball fan, if you are an NBA fan that loves flashy scoring, then
you're not going to get it in this Final Four.
Yeah, you might want to tune into the Miami game, because Miami's got shot makers. They got Jordan Miller, Nigel Pack, Isaiah Wong, and even Norchad Omir, who's an absolute beast down low. He's only 6'7", but he plays the five for them. He was 14th in the country in rebounding. He averaged a double-double this season. But if he gets into foul trouble against Adama Sanogo, they're going to struggle to beat that UConn team. So I think they're not as deep as UConn. UConn has two bigs that they can rotate in and out. So that's going to be a big point of emphasis to watch during that game.
So you think UConn-FAU in the final?
So when Oscar and I did our podcast earlier in the week, Oscar picked UConn, and I was like, you know what? Everyone's picking UConn, and this is not the year to do what everyone's doing.
That's a good point.
I picked Alabama in my bracket, and I was like, why did I do that? I never picked the number one overall seed.
But they said chalk was the way that things were going to go this year. We all knew differently when you looked at how the top 10 revolved all season long. The parity did exist.
Exactly.
We just didn't think it was this deep.
And the parity being the fact that, you know, Arkansas upsets Kansas, but Arkansas was a top 10 team coming into the season, but then they had injuries. So was it shocking to see them pull that upset? Absolutely not. They had NBA level talent on that team, but were they going to be able to play consistently and string wins back to back in the tournament? That's always the question that comes in. And Miami, you know, they were ACC title or ACC regular season champions. They were title runner ups in the tournament to Duke, but yet no one thought they could go on this kind of run as a five seed. But I think they have the scoring. They have a great coach who's experienced. He's the only really, truly experienced in Jamie Larinaga. I think my pick is going to be Miami. And you know what? Why not? Let's bring FAU into that championship game.
So you got an all-Florida final.
The second ever meeting between two teams from the same state. The last time it happened was in the 60s between Ohio State and Cincinnati. So you know what? Why not?
Oscar Robertson, baby.
Why not? Exactly. It's the first time two Florida teams have ever made it to the Final Four in the same year. Why not make it to the
those two teams?
Well?
And I was a pup, but this is history. Oscar Robertson, and you had Jerry Sloan playing for Ohio State, and those are some great battles. And Bobby Knight was on that team.
Now that's a heck. Those are some basketball royalties, legends right there.
That's history and royalties. So you got Miami then. I got the championship cutting the nets.
I got Miami cutting the nets against FAU because, again, I love guys who can score the ball, and they got four guys that can score, and it's really going to come down to can they continue to wear teams down. And you know, you can get out to a 15-point lead in the first half against this Miami team. That does not mean you are safe by any stretch. We've seen it time and time again. They have the scorers, they have the shot making. They just got to stay out of foul trouble, which they've done. I think Norchad Omir is probably going to be the difference maker, though, because if they want to get past UConn, they got to play big at some point. They got to force them to take shots that they're not going to want to do. And as long as they can clean up the glass, I really like this Miami team to be able to get past UConn. But
all right, so
it's not going to be easy.
Miami and FAU in the final. Miami, the national champ. I'm going to go with you, and now we'll switch gears so you don't fall asleep over there.
Let's go Owls.
Let's go Rays. What a wonderful. Did you get to take the day off, Alex?
No, I had to watch it somewhat at work. Have the radio broadcast on in one AirPod.
But if you look at this 2023 team, and we're talking about it, and I blabbed all the last 2 days about it with guys that know a lot about baseball, and we said this with Aresti. If you take Thursday's game. And that's the team that plays all year long with that type of defense, pitching. They have a shot in the East to even contend for the title.
If we play the Tigers every week, that would help too.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Sure. Just a balance of pitching, enough power hitting, mm-hmm. and defense. And that's the formula.
And health.
Well, we know that. That's without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, we're just saying that particular game, that recipe, everybody's healthy. With the exception of Glasnow, this team has a very, very high upside.
Well, like you said earlier on the show, you know, the Rays tend to not spend a lot of money to help us get deeper into seasons where a lot of the big names, Yankees, Red Sox, are able to do that.
Aresti said that,
but we are able, with this Eflin guy, maybe we'll see if some of our big money will actually pay off.
Largest ever free agency contract signing by the Rays.
Quietly, too, don't you think?
Very quietly. I mean, he's never been a true starter for the Phillies, so this is kind of a... This is a Rays signing. This is as much of a Rays signing as you could ask for. I mean, they're trying to. It's kind of like a reclamation project.
It was kind of like a Charlie Morton signing, and to be quite candid with you, Charlie Morton signing. It was a name, and he was successful, but it was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how they let him go. They could have kept him here, and they let him go to Atlanta for the same amount of money. You know that.
Yeah,
with Charlie Morton.
And they probably made the right call because they're always able to find a diamond in the rough and just plug them into that starting rotation. Look at what they did with Kluber last year. The year before, Michael Wacha wasn't the best starter, but he was a good five back end of the rotation kind of guy. You know, I think the Rays, they have so much depth in their farm system that they're willing to bet on it year in and year out. And hopefully they don't have to rely on it this year. And hopefully some guys can stay healthy. But I'm just really hoping we get a good season out of Wander. I mean, that's where the team lives and dies by, I feel like.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, we're going to be good. But I think a ace up our sleeve that not a lot of people are talking about is that the Rays have been rated the happiest team in baseball.
The happiest?
The happiest.
What outlet is rating
this? So this is from...
on what criteria?
This is from a Twitter
user, Nickelodeon?
Jay Kuda. And he was saying, based off of the pictures that each team takes of individuals who are smiling or not smiling, or also half smiling, you get a point. A point for smile, 0.5 points for a half smile, and no points for no smile. And the Rays with a score of 25.
This is analytic. You don't have to worry about this analytics, guy.
A score of 25.5. The Rays are the number one happiest team. And the angriest team, or the meanest looking team, with 7 points, the Texas Rangers.
Well, there you have it. You don't get those kind of analytics up when you're crunching numbers, man.
No, that's highly scientific. I can't argue with that at all.
Speaking of numbers and crunching, the next home series is against the Oakland A's. And I wonder if they're happy or sad. I would say they're probably sad because they're moving, and they're in DL and dead last, and their attendance is a DL. So the golden days of the Oakland A's are in the rearview mirror, gentlemen. But I think it's going to be It's going to be an absolute exciting season over at the Trop. And it was great to see 17th consecutive sellout. I think we've got some momentum. I think we'll average anywhere between 9 to 11,000 this year, which would be a dramatic improvement.
I love what they did with the off-season ticket initiatives, trying to get people
$249, $10 tickets.
There's just no excuse. If you live in St. Petersburg or the Tampa Bay area, the games are going faster now. I mean, what else could you ask
that
for?
Game... I gave my ticket up. I had killer seats, but I'm going Thursday right behind home plate. I gave them up for a guy, a Michigan guy. Anyway, I was sitting over here working. We were set up outside, and all of a sudden people come back. I thought, they're leaving early. I wasn't watching the game. That game, unbelievable how fast these games are going.
Yeah.
Well, they got, about 2:35 now?
When you go to a pitcher's duel, it's like a two-hour game. It's crazy.
Well, and that's going to be good for attendance during the weekdays because they're going to start at 6:40. And if you're a family person or young professional or people working, you going to school, you can go to a game, have a cup of coldies, you're home by 10 o'clock.
In bed, ready to go for the next day.
Perfect. Who doesn't love less baseball? You know, that's really what Manfred's going for.
Yeah, we've just cut the fat. We've trimmed the fat.
No.
And plus the shift.
You save 30 minutes. Average of 30 minutes is what you're saving. Come on.
So you absolutely do not think that that this is an improvement to the game as the acceleration. We only got a couple of minutes.
If you're a true baseball fan, why would you want less baseball? Who cares?
You're not getting less baseball. Same amount of outfield.
You're getting efficiency.
You're getting less time
and
fidgeting in the batting glove.
Yeah. What are you, one of those guys up there on the mound? We only got a minute left.
Yeah.
We'll debate this next week when we get the big go down. Now, by the way, who gets injured at a 5K and can't show up?
I don't think he got injured. I think he needed some rest,
Yeah, he's a
high-octane athlete.
I'm going to hammer him. All right, for Rusty Sestrada, the Triton Women's Soccer, Lagro Baseball, Brad Richardson, Alex Reba, Joe Boudreaux, Big Ed, and Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.